Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Today, of course, as I do most years, I get so excited about Christmas, I start preaching about Christmas already. So this year may not be, or it will not be, an exception. How many of you missed Thanksgiving? Nobody missed it? Everybody? All right. How many of you actually did not eat turkey? Thank you. I got some witnesses in here. I'm just kidding. I'm not a fan of turkey, even though I do a lot of turkey jive, right? But I guess you missed Thanksgiving because you didn't have no turkey. You know, because for some people, it may be that, oh, no, if you didn't eat turkey, then you didn't have no Thanksgiving, right? Yeah, people joke around like that and stuff. But really and truly, sometimes some of the traditions that we have about a particular day or occasion become the center of the occasion, and we lose sight of what really, really and truly that what we call holiday means. Now, of course, holiday coming from holy day, meaning separating a day to do something special. And we separated last Thursday to give thanks. Now I know that we have those preachers that go out there and say, every day is Thanksgiving Day. So I'll tell you, every day is Thanksgiving Day, because I don't want to be left out. But it's always good to set aside a special time. And I hope you didn't miss it. But today I want to give you something. You know, don't you dare miss Christmas, though. Don't you dare miss Christmas. That's the title of my sermon. And then as I was preparing for the sermon and looking for commentaries, information, and looking at stuff, I found that, of course, as always, I am the last one to preach about this stuff. You know, if you go online and you hit whatever, YouTube or Google or whatever, and you type, don't miss Christmas, you'll find a bunch of good preachers that already preached about this topic. So please, don't Google it. Just listen to mine and be content with that. Okay, I know you love me that much. But this is a topic that was, you know how you look at a story so many times and sometimes you just don't catch all the details? Well, the Bible is a living word, right? And when you read the Bible, it doesn't matter if you read it 10,000 times. 10,000 times it should do something to your life. It should have an impact, right? It should do something. It should prompt you to meditate, to think, or to do something or see something that you had not seen all 9,999 times that you've already read it, right? That's how powerful and amazing the Word of God is. So today, I want to talk to you about a few people, and not all of them. I'm not going to talk about all the people that miss Christmas, but I want to talk to you about a few people who miss Christmas, key people that could have had it but didn't. And I want to tell you, don't miss Christmas. Because sometimes even the most of the so-called or good Christians miss out on Christmas. And I'm going to tell you why, but later on. See? So we think about this. I remember a couple of years back, we were celebrating Christmas with my family. And every time we get together, my family has this tendency to have competitions, talent shows, and stuff like that. We're a very talented family. I'm just kidding. You know, as so we think. But we always do that. And every time we get together, there's always some type of display of something. Don't give my mom a microphone. She won't let it go. All right. And so just be advised. If you ever come to my family parties, if there's a mic, take it before my mom does. Okay? She'll be singing to you all night. But you see, we do that kind of stuff. And a couple of years back, my family said, we're going to get together for Christmas, and each family has to do and bring a talent or do something special for the rest of them. I'm like, What do we do? You know, we just didn't know what to do. And one of my brother and his daughter and wife and his father-in-law, mother-in-law, all of them got together and went out there because they have a little girl. They all wore these shark t-shirts and they started singing baby shark. And they sung the baby shark song and they danced and we had a lot of fun. And then my nephew and my niece pulled out the guitar and the keyboard and they sang. And I'm like, you can't top that. And then my uncle got up and he wrote some poetry about Christmas. And I'm like, you can't top that. But we decided, you know, as a good Christian family, we're going to do something to bring Christ into all of this, right? So we decided to do a little game, a puzzle game with the family. And we gave each family a puzzle, all the pieces to a puzzle that they had to put together. And the first one to finish would win a prize. And so all the families got their little tables and 1, 2, 3, go. And everybody started putting the puzzle together. And they just like, put this here, put this that. No, we almost done. It was a nativity scene. I mean, I'm a Christian, right? So I brought them a nativity scene into little puzzle pieces. And they're all putting it together. And then they realized that nobody ever finished it because there was one thing missing. Jesus. The baby was missing in the nativity scene. And some of them were like, we're done. And I'm like, are you sure? Where's your talent? So then I talked about how sometimes we miss out on Christmas. And the funny thing is that I did that a few years ago with my own family. And then this year I'm thinking, wait a second. There's some people in the Bible that missed out on Christmas. Duh. So today I want to tell you a little bit about them. You know, he's not missing, but yet he misses so many Christmas, or so-called Christmas. Or Christmas, you know, Christmas can be so many things. Christmas can be vacation, right? Christmas can be holidays. Christmas can be days off. Christmas can mean rest. For some people, Christmas means remembering some sour memories from their lives. You've heard me say this before, and I reiterate it every time. You know that Christmas is the highest suicidal time of the year. More people take their lives during the Christmas season than any other season in the year. You see, you go through places and you see all these boxes under trees and all decorated and all wrapped up, and you have all these empty boxes, right? Empty boxes. Empty boxes. They're just there to seem to be a present. And sometimes we have empty Christmases. And Jesus is not there. How is it possible to miss Christmas? It is the most advertised season of the year. It is the most, we spent the most money during Christmas. It is the most anticipated holiday in the year. I mean, we start, you know, we were talking about even the Australians, since they have the reverse cycle of weather, they have their winters in June and July because they're down south. So now they're trying to see about celebrating Christmas in July so that they can experience the cold weather that we do here during Christmas and sing carols and drink pumpkin spice, whatever, latte and things like that, and cinnamon potpourri, you know. So they're trying to do that. But we even have advertisements in some of the stores that are like, Christmas in July. And they want to sell you a Christmas tree. Right? They want to sell you all kinds of stuff. We have movies. We have concerts, caroling. Specials and TV shows and movies about Christmas. How come is it that some people miss it? I'm going to give you 3 different people and reasons why they miss Christmas. So let's look at Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 through 7. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And I really, really tell you, read the Christmas story in Matthew and in Luke and read it. Reread it and reread it during this season. Now check this out. It says, now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. There was the first census This was the first census taken by Quirinius, was governor of Syria. As everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city, Joseph also went up from Galilee from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger. Because, why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. Father, I pray you speak to us by the power of your Son, your Spirit, and you, Father, the Godhead, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to think about this. Why do people miss Christmas? But, hey, I have no room for Christ. My parties have no room for Christ. My family reunions have no room for Christ. My Christmas is not about Christ. It's about something else. We get busy with distractions. And let me tell you, busyness with distractions will lead you to a Christless party. A Christless party, not a Christmas party. Have you ever been to one of those Christless parties? Where it's supposed to be Christmas, but everything but Christ is celebrated there? I know you don't do those kind of parties. But some people do it. Sometimes we go because either their family, their friends, we've been invited, and we want to be the presence of Christ there. Yeah. Now it's Christmas. And when you leave, it's Christless party. You know? So you think about that. But the innkeeper, why was there no room in the inn? I mean, we don't get to meet this guy, like, personally and hear about him or anything. But most likely what was happening that we can infer from everything else is that he was pretty busy. His house was full. If it was an inn or a place where people stayed, remember, there was a census that everybody would come back to their own cities or cities of birth or ancestry and register. And so the town was full. This is a little town. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. You remember the songs? It's a little town. And now probably there's hundreds, if not thousands, of people coming back to register. So needless to say, all the holiday inns are full. Holiday Inn. You get that? Wow. They must have started that at Christmas. Yeah, right. So his business was probably booming. How'd you think about that? It's a good thing for him. It's like, sorry, we're full. Have you ever been to a hotel and it's all full? I know I have. Not a good news, right? But check this out. I want you to think about his busyness in his business. He missed the greatest advertisement opportunity for his inn. The Savior of the world stayed here. Shucks. Something else. He was too busy. Maybe too worried. I mean, you know what? I don't have time for this. I know she's pregnant, but you're going to have to take her somewhere else. I ain't got time for this. I ain't got no space. I don't know what to do. You know, that reminds me of some people during the Christmas season. They're too worried about shopping. They're too worried about getting up too early on Friday, you know, like 2 days ago, to go get the best TV at the right price. I think for many people, the truly defining moment of Christmas is on Black Friday, whether they got what they wanted or not. Have you ever thought about that? You know, Christmas is ruined because when I got there, there was no more 70,000 inches TV for $5. There was no more. And if we find what we were looking for, then Christmas will be a total success. But if we don't, then we lost. Our Christmas won't be the same without that big TV. We spend more time shopping than worshiping. Sometimes during the Christmas. You tell me if people don't miss Christmas. We spend more time shopping than worshiping. That's something else. Wake up at 4 a.m. in the morning. Go stand in line out in the cold. Well, at least it's not that cold here. I'm wondering about the people in Michigan. Standing in line for a TV. But we don't get up early enough to come to church. Oh, hold on. I forgot. That's why we buy the big TV, so we can watch it online. So it's all good. I'm just kidding, right? Think about that. How busy are you that Jesus has no room in your Christmas? That your Christmas is filled with, I got to buy the gifts. I haven't bought a gift. I wonder what size. I wonder what size so-and-so is. I mean, they lost weight. No, they gained weight. I don't know. I got to call them. I got to call their mother-in-law to tell me their size. Yeah, call her. How busy are you that Jesus may not have room in your Christmas? Make room for Jesus. Anyway, it's supposed to be Christmas. Christmas. It's about Christ. Read the story. Immerse in the story this season. Meditate on it. Live in it. Anyway, he's the reason for the season, right? Don't get caught up in the busy life and don't be distracted by the Christmas stockings and stuffings and the gifts and the food and the fun and the family of Christmas. All those things are fun and good to go. Nothing wrong with that, but don't have a Christless party. Have a true Christmas party. Include Jesus in his birthday party. How about that? Something. And don't just do it on the 24th or the 25th. Let's continue on throughout the whole season and all year long. You see, indifference and ignorance to the true meaning of Christmas will end up in a, I put Xmas because I don't know how to say that right, but whatever, Christmas. It means Christmas. Okay, don't be alarmed, right? But I want you to think about that because actually, if you look at the story of how that little word came about, the Xmas, it's actually, it was Christians, Greek Christians, because the word or the name or the title Christ starts with an X in Greek. So it was like an abbreviation. It means Christmas to them, but it's kind of morphed. You know how things morph, how words take on different meanings and stuff? You know how people are trying to take Christ out of Christmas, and they say now, you're not allowed to say Merry Christmas. You need to say Happy Holidays, right? In some places, the employees are told that, you know? And they're taking advantage of this and saying, well, we'll just put Xmas instead of Christmas so we eliminate Christ from it. Funny thing is that it's a cross. And every time I see a cross, I'm remembering Jesus. So, but think about it. It's the indifference and the ignorance. People don't know. Maybe the innkeeper was indifferent, or maybe he was ignorant. I don't know, but it seems like, you know, his house was full. There was no room. How about his wife? No compassion if he was married and said, oh my God, look at this kid. She's pregnant. She's about to have a baby. Bring her in. Oh no, she was probably asleep. Like, oh, I'm not going out there. Hey, somebody knocking at the door. I don't know what happened there, but no one had compassion enough to get the right help. Actually, when you look at the Christmas story, and I'm getting ahead, it says that Mary had the baby. It doesn't say the midwives were there. It doesn't say even Joseph was there or nobody. She had the baby, probably all by herself, and wrapped him up. All alone. Those of you who have had children, can you imagine not having your doctor and the nurses as obnoxious that all of them could be, especially when you are having a hormone problem at that moment? Can you imagine them not assisting you? Can you imagine your husband nowhere near the hospital or maybe outside the room saying, you go do that because I can't watch that? No family, no mother with a big camera trying to take a video. Nobody there for your childbearing? As a mother, you may understand some of what Mary goes through, but that's for another sermon in a couple of weeks. But this is the guy who had the opportunity. How can we have a birthday party for someone if the person is not at the party? Have you ever prepared a surprise party for someone and they never showed up? That wasn't a party, right? If that happens. Either it's his party or call it something else. Then don't call it Christmas. There was more animals than people at the party. Wow. Maybe some people are going through heartaches and will miss this Christmas because of their bitterness or hardness of heart. or suffering or trauma, maybe they'll miss Christmas. So maybe this Christmas you can make room for those who are weary, those who are heartbroken and hurt, and introduce them to the true Christ of Christmas. At least, if you don't do that, at least make room for a Christ this Christmas. Get into the story of Christmas and live it. See if you have room, like the innkeeper didn't. He missed it. He missed Jesus. And so many people are missing Jesus today, celebrating an empty Christmas or Christless party. Let's not be fooled. Don't you dare miss Christmas, period. Number two, let's think about it. This is another group of people. Let's go to chapter two. Oh my God, I'm lost. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, the same as Luke. Here's another one. Check it out. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem was with him. That's one troubled guy. Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes and all the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "Oh, we know. In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet Micah. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. Think about that. That's two people who are actually two group of people that miss Christmas. Herod and all of Jerusalem. And on top of that, the religious, the priests, the scribes, the teachers of the law. Another story. Can you think about that? Think about that for a second. Let that sink in. You see, they were so familiar with the Christmas story that it ceased to amaze them. And I'm going to tell you, you know the Christmas story. Don't let it cease to amaze you. Don't be so familiar with it that it ceases to amaze you. The wise men came from the east. We don't know if they came from China, from India, or from where they came from. We have no idea. No idea. It took them probably a year or two to actually find Jesus. See all these things about the three wise men coming in when Jesus is in the manger? That's not correct. That's what we've said and done and taught and even do. But that's not really the way it happened. The Magi took probably a year or two to find Jesus. Now I want you to think about this for a second. The religious people answered Herod, "Oh yeah, we know exactly where he will be born. We know because we know the scripture. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 says." And they went on to tell about it. "In Bethlehem, of course. You did not know this, Herod? We know." They knew it. They knew the story. They knew exactly what could happen in little Bethlehem. You see, 700 years before Christ, Micah had said it. And they actually believed it, or maybe not. In this little town, they knew the word, but they didn't go to Bethlehem. Why didn't they go to Bethlehem? I want you to think about this. 700 years, a prophet of God, and I believe that this is the word of God, and he says that in Bethlehem shall be born the Messiah, and I get a call from the governor, the president, and says, "Hey, I hear the Messiah has been born. What do you know about this?" "Of course he shall be born in Bethlehem." "Oh, wait a second. Man, let's get an Uber. We're going to Bethlehem immediately." Why didn't the religious do that? Why didn't they go to Bethlehem? You know how far is Bethlehem from Jerusalem? 5 miles. 5 miles. You know, from here to downtown maybe. And they couldn't make it there? Why? Think about that. Let that sink in. Waiting for something that they didn't care about, maybe, because there's familiarity. They were so familiar with the story that it actually like, he ain't here yet. Have you ever felt that way about Jesus Christ's second coming? I mean, it happens, I think, to most of us that we're like, Jesus is coming soon. Yeah, they've been saying that for 2,000 years. Oh, man, Jesus could come today. But will he? You know, we wrestle with that. So I can imagine they were wrestling with that. But they couldn't even send anybody to check. Imagine, the world leaders are at a meeting and they call you and say, hey, is it true that the Bible says when? And you're like, oh, yeah, I know exactly where. Familiarity with the story of the religious leaders, it made them indifferent. And that's what happens to us today sometimes. We become indifferent to the true message, the central message of Christmas. And without we intending or knowing, Christ leaves Christmas. How about the religious in the church? So familiar with the Christmas story, it doesn't amaze them anymore. I remember when we used to do the big Christmas plays, some of you participated. Some of you sang. Some of you acted. And man, let me tell you, every Christmas, I got so excited about doing this. And we've had 60 people on stage doing this kind of stuff. And then, wah, 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 wah. After a few years, some people actually started saying, why don't we do something different? Why don't we do something like, I mean, Christmassy, but let's do something different. Because the people are like, the manger again? Oh, so Mary's up there and they somehow pulled out a real baby in the play. That was cool, but again, did that ever happen to you? Because that's when we start falling like the religious people, where the story doesn't amaze us anymore. And we want something new, something different, something bigger. Can you find something bigger than that? Maybe you can tell the story about the little kid who bought the shoes for her mama for Christmas and she died. That's impactful. That's Christmassy. Tragic ending. But oh my God, maybe we could do that this year, Pastor. No, but you see, I mean, the religious people weren't invited. God didn't invite them. But Herod told them, hey, go check that out. Let's check this out. And neither one of them, not one of the religious, took advantage of the opportunity. I mean, I don't claim to be the innocent one or the not guilty one. But I told you about my experience this morning as I was driving here. I don't have those necessarily every day. But man, we need to have more experiences like that, especially around Christmas time. But Pastor, here we go. Christmas comes and Luisito picks the same songs. We do the same hymns. We angels we have heard on high. And he wants us to come over and have a choir and sing again. The same songs? Well, okay, let's just sing about your cat or your dog or something. And how you put a bow, red bow on them for Christmas. Maybe that'll get your Christmas going. I don't know. We don't get bored about the food. Oh my God, Christmas comes and we eat like the 25th is over. The world is over. We got to eat everything on the 24th. We have parties. We don't get tired of gifts. Or family reunions. We travel. We go on vacation. And then we get together and it all end up in a gossip or a fight about something. Or maybe you brought a gift that was more expensive than so-and-so. You know, but it's a tradition. And we have to do it. Do you fall into that category or not? Do we? Have we made the traditions more important? Traditions will not bore us. Apparently, but the story of Christmas might. Some people have so much familiarity with the Christmas story that it doesn't have an effect on them. But you know what? That's because we add stuff. So I'm going to ask you, please, don't add so much to your Christmas that it loses its meaning. So many traditions and festivities that we've added to it. Oh, God forbid we don't have the stockings, whatever. God forbid that we don't have a Christmas tree this year. God forbid that we don't get together. God forbid that. And Christ is like, okay. Where do I go? Where do I stand? Where do I sit? Oh, okay. Well, everybody kind of do your thing and I'll just find my way through. No. There are some people who actually participate in all of the traditions of Christmas with no regard for Christ anyway. Have you had some of those friends and family? I mean, they're not here. I know. These are the people who love Christmas parties, but don't want anything to do with Christ. Don't point at them. Don't look at them if they're here, because I don't know any. I want you to think about that. They love Christmas, but no interest in Christ. They don't know the true meaning of Christmas, but they know all the traditions and everything and all the legends that we add to Christmas. And they get so emotional and excited about Christmas. But they have a Christless party instead of a Christmas party. Food, fellowship, family, and fun, and miss out on Christmas for sure. What does Christmas mean anyway? God came near. The light shined upon man. That's what Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 says, that the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You see, you can put all the Christmas lights, all the LEDs in the world, and decorate your house with all of the lights in the world and still have a dark Christmas. So watch out for familiarity. It leads to complacency and it'll end up in indifference. They had been waiting for generations, these people, for this day. And they were not even curious enough to go check it out 5 miles away. Maybe because they felt they didn't need it. They didn't need a Messiah. Oh, really? But you've been waiting for a Messiah. The indifference always goes hand in hand with pride. See, I don't need Christ. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus was sitting at a table, and he was, well, reclining, of course, because they didn't sit in chairs like we do, but there were tax collectors, sinners. They were dining with Jesus and his disciples. And you see, here comes the religious, and they say, you know what? How come he invites all these peoples, you know, the riffraff, the scum, the outcasts, the tax collectors, the traitors, the sinners, the vile, the evil, the street people, and sits with them? How dare he? These Pharisees, holier than thou, of course. How does he do that? Why does he do that? And Jesus rebuked them in sarcasm, and he said, you know what? They that are well don't need a physician, but they that are sick do. In other words, you don't need me, Pharisees. You don't need me. They do. But he was being sarcastic, because if anybody had need for Jesus, it was the Pharisees themselves, of course. They didn't know the real reason. They lost it. They knew the story. They knew what was supposed to happen. You see, the Bible, the same thing. You can know this cover to cover, but without Jesus in your life, this means nothing in your life. Have you ever thought about that? You can read this book day and night, know it cover to cover, but without Jesus present in your life, you lost. Don't stay home. Go to Bethlehem, man. If you know the story, then come to Jesus. Come to him. Jesus said about the Pharisees that they were like whitewashed tombs that looked beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, dry bones. Don't have an empty Christmas. Because a Christmas without Christ is a Christless party. It's not true Christmas. Don't call it Christmas if Jesus has no room in it. So, 5 miles, and they couldn't go. But the Magi, they came from far. It took him at least 2 years. Now, I'm thinking about Thanksgiving, and of course, because we're still eating whatever leftovers, right? I am so glad that I had Thanksgiving in Puerto Rico, because I don't have to eat the leftovers. I came back. Whew. You see, we've had Thanksgiving that day, and my mama cooked the turkey, and we ate and everything, and then I got my luggage and went to the airport that night because I didn't want no turkey on Friday. Praise the Lord Jesus. No, right? But we're, you see, and then, and I started looking at Facebook, and I see so many beautiful pictures that people post of having dinner, Thanksgiving dinner with the family, having a Thanksgiving picnic, having a Thanksgiving that, Thanksgiving things, Thanksgiving that. And I see all kinds of people posting all these beautiful things. And then I saw Luisito's post on Thanksgiving morning at 6 a.m. in the church for prayer. Did you see it? It looked empty. To me, once a year, 6 o'clock in the morning for a Thanksgiving, and it looked like an empty building. I was like, why did we see to post those pictures? But I'm glad he did. Where's our heart? Is it in a turkey? Oh, where? I want you to think about that. So Christmas comes. Don't miss it. I'm going to try to finish this thing now because there's one more person, Herod. Herod. The great leader. I don't eat Christ in my Christmas. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 3, it says that he was troubled, flustered, maybe baffled. Maybe he was like, what is this? Even Herod had to know something because he said, I want you guys to inquire about this birth and let me know so that I can come and worship him. Sure. He knew the story, too. He just wanted to get rid of him. Did you know Herod? Did you know anything about Herod, by the way? You see, the party is great until Jesus shows up. It's all fun and games until Christ comes in. Christ is the troublemaker. He is like the, comes over and messes up the party, right? That's what he does to some people. But I think Herod was dealing with fear. He was troubled because he's like, whoa, this Messiah is supposed to be their ruler. And I'm the ruler of the Jews. So there's a threat. Now there's fear. Who is this guy? Where is he? Oh, he's just born? That's easy. I mean, you just killed a baby. And Jesus shows up in the greatest chaos that you could think of happens in the whole city and in Bethlehem. Everywhere. Okay, let's kill all the babies. See, Jesus shows up and trouble comes. What do you mean there is a king? I am the king. Some people actually fear Christmas. You know why? Because they know they're going to have to hear about Jesus from somebody. And they don't want Jesus. Jesus is going to ruin my party. I've had some of those in my family. When it's time for prayer, or it's time for say thank you, or it's time for the little message from the Christmas story, they bow their heads. Some out of respect, and some out of like, here we go again. Is he done yet? Have you ever? No, I mean, I don't know, maybe you know some crazy people like that or not. See, let me tell you a little bit something about Herod. He was a Roman citizen of Arab descent, and the Jews hated him. He was a paranoid, crazy, psychotic man. He was afraid of anybody who might threaten his position or his kingship. Let me tell you what he did. He killed his wife. He killed his mother. He killed two of his sons. He killed his brother-in-law. Anybody who would threaten his kingship or was a threat to his position, kill him. Get rid of him. It's amazing. You know what he did? Before he died, he had all of his children killed, murdered, slaughtered. You know why? Because he said, nobody's going to succeed me and be better than me. None of my, not even my children. Had them all killed. And then, you know what he did? He had a bunch of Jews, prominent Jews, in jail. And the day before he died, he told his people, you will kill all the Jews the day I die. because there's going to be some weeping. And they might not want to weep for me, but at least when I die, there will be some weeping. And he had them all killed. This is Herod. And he gets the chance and hears about the king, the true king. And he goes crazy. See, don't be frightened if Jesus comes to your party then. People are afraid of meeting God. If I open up my heart to God, you know, because at Christmas it's kind of a soft time. Weddings are soft, hardened time. Funerals, Easter. You know, people kind of like are more sensitive to these things. Oh, no, but I won't. Because if I give my heart to God, if I start giving my life to Christ and have him as king, I'll lose my fun, my freedom, and maybe I'll become a fanatic. And I don't want that. I like a simple phrase. You were made by God and you were made for God. So give yourself up. Pride, selfishness. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Even the God who made me, he can't tell me what to do. Herod, egocentric, troubled. I am the king. You see, sometimes we don't mind Jesus being in the vicinity, but don't come into my house. Think about it. You try to be your own king. You try to rule your own life. You will miss on the true king. You will miss on life, on true life. When you start ruling your life is the moment you start ruining your life. It's not about you. Some people think, well, Jesus is going to come and interfere with my plans and my dreams and my career and my likes and my ambitions and my lifestyle. So I'm not about to let anybody else be king in my life. Everybody, you know, kind of, or a lot of people want Jesus as a nice spiritual friend that will get you out of trouble when you need him. Someone to keep him out of hell, but not interested in crowning him as the actual Lord of their lives. You see, if you really want to celebrate a true Christmas, make him your king, and now you can know what really Christmas is. You can have a Christmas party, but not without Christ. Don't call it a Christmas party if Jesus is not in it, because it's not. And attaching Jesus to part of your schedule or something, like people want to add Jesus, you know. We'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do that, we'll do that, and then we'll add a dash of Christ or sprinkle of Jesus. And that should do it. The whole city of Jerusalem missed Christmas. Everybody. There's chaos in this world, just like there was chaos when Jesus was born. And all because he is being rejected. And when we reject Christ, we get into troubles. See? Let's not just throw Jesus in the mix. Let's make him the main ingredient. You see, how do I not fall into this? Stop filling your life with less important things. See, there's so much to life. So much more than busyness or working or gifts. Chill out. Be still and know that he is God. See, God had to call upon the lowest of the lowest, the shepherds, the stinky, the dirty, the smelly, the worthless people. They were worse than criminals. Why then? Instead of anybody else? Because they were still. They had nothing to do, I guess. You know, like, well, you want to come to a Christmas party? Well, I got nothing to do, so I'll come. What were the shepherds doing? They were just sitting over there watching over their flock at night. I can imagine that life. Looking at the stars and just, nobody wants us. We can't even get close to other people without them pushing us away because we're filthy. We deal with animals and blood and death. But you know, they were still enough. God speaks to those who are still enough. Be still and know that he is God. So yeah, don't miss out on Christmas. Stop filling your life with stuff. No more stuffing. Let's have the real thing. Look closely at why he came. He said a few things, actually. I think at least five times Jesus said, I came too. And in John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you, they, everyone that believes will have life and have it abundantly. John 3:17, for God did not send a son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. But why as a baby? Have you ever thought about how come Jesus didn't come as an adult? I mean, he had shown himself up already as a warrior in the Old Testament. I mean, you've had him show up in these theophanies in the Old Testament. How come he didn't come as a man, period? Just appeared. Boom, I'm here. He came as a baby. I think I might have an idea that I've heard around. I thought, hey, that kind of makes sense. Why did God choose to send him as a baby? You know what? Because nobody's afraid of a baby. Nobody comes after a baby. Well, not anymore. But no one's afraid of a baby. See, he wanted to save us, not scare us. Nobody's afraid of a baby. So, you know, even now that he's all grown up, you know, when you're afraid, don't run from God. Run to God. You see, so many times, 365 times in the Bible says, fear not, one for each day. And I've heard that before, right? And listen and heed. Don't just hear, but listen and heed. At the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today. Give him the gift. Give him your heart. Have you ever been to one of those birthday parties that you have to bring a gift to the birthday person, but you have to give a gift to another person? Yeah, especially with kids, right? Well, if I bring a gift for their boy and I don't bring one for the girl, she'll get mad. And you've had to bring gifts for the boy and the girl, even though the girl don't have a birthday. Have you ever done that? I know I have. You don't want to get these kids mad at birthday parties and stuff. But why? And we do the same thing with Jesus. Sometimes we miss bringing him a gift and we bring everybody else gifts. He doesn't need anything, but yet there's something that he doesn't have that you can give him if he doesn't have it yet. Your love, your heart, your devotion. He gave his life for you. Do it in humility. Just like the shepherds did. Don't be a Herod. Don't be a religious person. Don't be an innkeeper. Just come to him with the right attitude. The only attitude to come to Christ and have a true Christmas is with humility.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.